Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue with our Talking Markets podcast series with a focus specifically on equities. This will include thoughts around current valuations, a performance outlook. We'll spend some time on positioning as well as other timely topics within the asset class. So joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back to UBS, Melda Mergen, Global Chief Investment Officer for Columbia Threadneedle Investments. Melda is the global CIO specifically for equities. We also have joining us from our UBS Chief Investment Office, Head of Equities for the Americas, David Lefkowitz. So with that, Melda, David, thank you both for dropping by UBS On Air Market Moves and for spending some time today with our listeners as well as our clients of UBS. Looking forward to our conversation and to hearing your thinking today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dan. Happy to be here as well.
Absolutely. So there's a few topics we want to cover today with our listeners, our clients. I do at the start want to acknowledge how U.S. equities in 2024, they have gotten off to a strong start. You think about Q1 recapping performance. We did see the S&P 500 having gained over 10%. That actually marked the strongest first quarter gain since back in 2019. So Melda, to begin, what are your thoughts on current valuations as they stand today? And do you believe current valuations are justified?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And I think everybody has been pleasantly surprised with the resilience of the U.S. economy and the markets, although we were really coming into 2023 talking about recession, high probability of recession, but it definitely did not happen. So I would say my short answer is yes. It is justified, and I'll give you a little bit more color why I think it's justified. But I also want to make sure that I am on the more cautious side from here. So I believe it is justified because I know the absolute levels are pretty high compared to the history. But if you look at the peak to current time period, so I'm going back to January 22, the peak we experienced, and today over that 2 years time period, actually S&P 500 PE ratio came down by 3% overall, and then EPS grew by 13%. So the return was supported more through the EPS growth than multiple expansion, and that's usually a healthier way of realizing equity market return. I can hear probably the pushback would be, oh, it was a very concentrated performance last year, and it was only top 6-7 stocks contributed most of the market return. But the reality, if you look at that cohort, these numbers are actually much more appealing. That cohort, the same time period, peak to current, their multiple came down 15%, and the EPS went up 42%. So again, very much not about multiple expansion or an extended premium, but it is really through earnings growth. But the question is where we are going to be from here. So for that reason, I think it is justified, but we need to be cautious going forward.
David, to add on to Melva's thoughts, I'm curious from the perspective of the UBS Chief Investment Office, how we got to where we are today with respect to valuations and thoughts on where those currently stand.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dan. I mean, I think, let me just preference my comments by saying, you know, I think valuation is always a little bit more art than science. You know, frankly, it's hard to pin down valuation or have a forecast for valuation that is very precise, just, you know, given all the different variables that that can affect valuations. And no argument with Melda. I mean, basically, you know, valuations are high at just over 20 times on forward earnings for the S&P 500. But I do think, you know, very similar to her comments, I do think they're reasonable given the macro environment that we have. We have a low unemployment rate. We have normalizing inflation, you know, especially if you look at things like inflation expectations, which are, you know, pretty much around normal. We've got a Fed pivoting, likely pivoting to rate cuts. We've got earnings growth that has been good and looks like it's broadening out beyond some of the largest companies. So you know, it's a pretty supportive backdrop. And in that type of environment, these are the periods when we do tend to see higher than average valuations. I would say, though, that probably the biggest takeaway from my perspective about valuations, though, is that not so much about the short term, but more about the long term. And I think here, the historical record would suggest that with valuations high, it's likely that U.S. equities, you know, certainly large cap equities, are probably going to generate subpar returns over the coming decade. And I think that's the strongest statement we can make, you know, from my seat about the implications of these high valuations today. So, you know, summing it up, I think valuations make sense in the context of this good environment, but we know that this good environment is not going to be with us forever.
Sort of running with that in terms of where we go from here on a more near-term basis, we're recording today, Tuesday, April 9th. We're roughly 1 week into the second quarter with Q1 now behind us. I'm curious, Melda, from your perspective, what is your near-term performance outlook for U.S. equities? I guess put another way, can the momentum we've seen recently, can that continue?
Assuming we are talking about near term, really, until the end of this year and probably early next year, I think it is, as we discussed, is going to be, you know, a little bit harder, as David suggested, can we maintain this? But the shorter term, my biggest challenge I think the market is going to face is going to be the elevated volatility. And that's due to, you know, headline risks, especially in the short term. We will go through the election cycle in the U.S. We still have ongoing geopolitical risk. And I would say with all the dislocations we experienced since the pandemic around the globe, there are still, we couldn't find the trend and the equilibrium in the marketplace. And I don't think it's going to change the rest of the year or, you know, going into 2025. So for that reason, I think the volatility will be high, and during that time, especially the winners from last year, 2023, they have tough comps, and it's really something that everybody is going to be more focused on. Any surprise to the downside, not to the upside from here, so that will be hard. But as David mentioned, though, there is an opportunity here for the rest of the market, the breadth becoming much better than last year. And valuations in many areas like energy and other sectors, it's actually generally supported to look more closely. I would say, though, cheap is never an investment thesis, so I wouldn't suggest that just buy for the sake of, you know, valuation. But we are expecting better market breadth and returns. And this is true around the globe, too. So in some ways, the momentum will continue, but I don't think it's going to be in the same places, and we will have more opportunity with the volatility to position our portfolios for always the next 3-5 years. We find a lot of companies are going through really business strategic, you know, review of what they are trying to accomplish, and we find a lot of good opportunities for us to include in the portfolio. So the momentum will stay, but will be in different places.
And David, thinking as well that we're coming up soon on yet another corporate reporting season, what are your thoughts on near-term performance outlook?
It's a supportive environment, but you know, it does seem like this is largely discounted in the marketplace. I also think it's worth highlighting that, you know, some of the sentiment positioning measures that we look at are looking more elevated. I think it's also worth highlighting that it's been just a really good run over the last 6 months. I mean, S&P 500's up 21% or so over the last 6 months. I mean, that, you know, just to put that in perspective, that's a 95th percentile type of return. So, you know, if you look back at rolling 6 month periods since World War II, so it's been a good environment, and it's been a good, we've enjoyed some very nice returns. And so I'd say in our base case, we really, you know, we really don't see much upside. But we know markets can overshoot, and we do have an upside case where we could see, you know, call it another 5 to 7% upside over the balance of the year. And one of the catalysts to drive that could be if we, you know, if we do see some better inflation readings. You know, the last couple have been you know, have been a little bit hotter than expected. If we get back to a more consistent disinflationary trend, you know, that just opens the door to further Fed rate cuts than the market's currently thinking. You know, again, that's more of an upside case for us at this point, but certainly could happen. But I would say our main message is we have a neutral allocation on U.S. equities, you know, relative to other assets and sub-asset classes. And so our main message is stay invested, you know, be in line with your long-term allocations, but just recognize that there's, you know, there's a lot of good news that's been priced in, and, you know, we certainly could see modest pullbacks along the way. That could be a better time to be adding capital to equity markets.
Perhaps that's a good segue if we spend some time on positioning from your vantage point, Melda. Where are you currently finding the most opportunity within equities?
We really rely on our own work. We have a very extended fundamental research capabilities, and we do our own analysis to come up with our own, you know, price targets and everything. So if you look at our work and the base return estimates in U.S. particularly, I'm talking about, we still find opportunities. We indicate double-digit returns in healthcare and consumer, so and then high single-digit in technology. Again, as David said, the valuation part is the art, so we're careful with our expectations around where we find it. It's stretched. Our estimates are not relying on multiple expansion. It is more about the strength of the companies that we follow and their earnings potential. So those three sectors, healthcare, consumer information technology, although we don't make top-down decisions at the sector level, I'm expecting our bottom-up work and stock selection will lead some of those sectors being overweight in our portfolios. That doesn't mean we won't find ideas in other sectors. Other sectors, as I said, the valuation is supportive, but we are also seeing some business challenges in the way of everything going on around the globe, like supply chain still optimization is going on. There are some, you know, places where we need to be careful with the consumer, specifically China, of course, is a place where we need to watch very closely, where a lot of multinational companies have exposure, but consumer is still not spending, mostly saving. So all those fundamental factors will be taken into account, but we still see opportunities for returns in equities in the U.S. large cap. I would say U.S. small cap valuation is very compelling when you look at the history. Again, cheap is not thesis, but as David mentioned, if you are underweight or not owning small cap compared to your long-term allocation for your goals, I would definitely suggest it's the place to add maybe when the new money comes, and that is important. My style preference is usually neutral, and the reason for that is we find if you either owning value and growth together or owning a core strategy, it's much better risk-adjusted returns, client experience. With that, assuming most of us came into this rally already growth tilted, I think value exposure, again, for your long-term, more neutral position in styling, if you agree with, would be a place to look. But either way, I would suggest wherever you're tilted in style, bringing it back to a neutral position would be where I suggest, you know, our clients take a look at it. But generally, in the U.S. specifically, we find sector preferences, not a big tilt, but into our work suggesting opportunity for earnings growth.
Thank you, Melda. And we can certainly revisit global preferences as well in just a few moments. Though, David, from the vantage point of our chief investment office, I know one of our main messages and focus remains buy quality. Now, in reference to equities, how should investors be thinking about that?
Yeah, so let me just touch on the sector preferences and then how the quality overlay kind of lays into that. Yeah, so similar to Melda, there's a bit of overlap here. Tech has done well, but we still think it's important to have some exposure, some higher than benchmark exposure. I mean, we think this AI opportunity is legit. It is real. I mean, some of it still has to be proven out, but we think it certainly has potential to be a very pervasive technology over the coming years and really enhance productivity across a pretty wide swath of the economy. And we're currently in a situation where we just, the chips that are being used to build out the capabilities are just, frankly, in short supply. And we think we're going to continue to be in this environment at least for, a couple, if not, a few or even several quarters, potentially going into next year. So, it still seems like a good place to be, away from AI, in markets like smartphones, servers, we think those are bottoming. So, the drivers that have been driving tech, we think are still largely in place. We also like industrials. Industrials is a very heterogeneous segment of the market. So I think it makes sense to drill down. But, things like transports where, they've been in somewhat of a freight recession, so to speak, for a number of quarters. That looks like it's ending. Aerospace looks pretty interesting with just big backlogs and, frankly, shortages of planes. Some of that due to the woes that Boeing is having. Infrastructure, should be a multi-year growth story. There's data center demand is pulling in some industrial needs as well. And just to sort of the cherry on top is that I think we're looking at a pickup in the global manufacturing cycle. So from all those perspectives, we think industrials look pretty interesting. And also the other sector that we are positive on is healthcare. Again, I think you have to sort of drill down here and look at some of the sub-segments. Some of the life science tools companies have been, struggling with some headwinds. We think those will get better in the coming quarters. Managed care, kind of similar. They've had some issues. We think a lot of the bad news is discounted, and things are likely going to turn, especially as we go into next year. And then obviously all the growth we've seen in obesity and things like that. So, I do think, sort of to Melda's point, I do think you need to get a bit granular when you really talk about sector exposures. And sometimes, really looking at the specific companies. In terms of, and by the way, it just, how quality fits into that. I mean, I would say both tech and healthcare are pretty high when it comes to quality. And we know that's a great way to help insulate and protect investor portfolios whenever we do see some more turbulence. We also, tactically, we actually like small cap. I mean, Melda touched on this, the valuations are very appealing. I think what's really crucial here is we've got to start to see a pickup in earnings growth for small for this to work. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, if you look at access to capital, that has clearly been improving. The banks have been pulling back on their tightening bias. So access to capital is getting easier in the bank channel. High yield markets are wide open. We've seen a ton of issuance in high yield. And we've also even seen equity issuance has been fairly good. And you can look at, just looking at how much equity capital has been raised in the Russell 2000. It's actually running at a level that's even higher than what we saw pre-pandemic. So, as capital gets deployed, usually that translates into, revenues for somebody else. So we think that will happen. And then I mentioned the ISM, the manufacturing cycle. One way we look at this is a gauge called the ISM Manufacturing Index, which is sort of a sentiment gauge for manufacturing activity. That is also, has been pretty depressed for, almost 2 years at this point. It looks like it's improving. Inventories are pretty clean. So we should see a pickup in manufacturing activity. And if you look at the Russell 2000, industrials is the largest sector in the Russell 2000. That's the small cap index. So I think all of the pieces are starting to fall in place for a pickup in earnings growth. And I think that's going to be key to unlock some of the low valuations we see. And also, we do think interest rates are going to fall from here. And I think that's been a bit of a headwind especially this year, we've been seeing a little bit of a backup in interest rates, long-term interest rates. And if interest rates fall, I think that would just, you know, further help the small cap call. So, you know, the sector, I think from a large cap perspective, you know, focusing on quality, but, you know, opportunistically within small, obviously you're going down the quality spectrum there, but these stocks are already pretty cheap. So we think a lot of that discount is somewhat unjustified.
Thank you, David. A lot of considerations. And just to broaden outside of the U.S., Melda, from your vantage point, how should investors be thinking about positioning, whether it's within other developed markets or even across the emerging markets?
I would argue always that especially shouldn't be a lot of timing decisions. I think strategically, all of our clients should have exposure to EM. So from that point of view, I would say EM has been challenging, and for a reason, a lot of people seeing the quality, as David mentioned, in the U.S. Market and the way that the company is really, really generating earnings and free cash flow justifies some of that shift from ex-U.S. to U.S. in many areas. But I still think EM, especially actively managed and looking at the local markets and local opportunities, has really good setup from here. And I know China has been really challenging, and I cannot say that we still have a big, you know, stability there, or there are things from what we experienced in the last 10 to 15 years to the next 10 to 15 years will look different. But there is still, it is the second biggest, you know, largest economy. There's a lot of manufacturing and consumer demand will come from that economy. So generally, if you look at the EM space, you need to really get China correct because of the percentage weight in there. But we still believe there are opportunities there. And I would highly, I would argue that our, again, clients, if they don't have it in their portfolios, they should consider it. The other thing on the EM side is the reality of, as we experienced, the reoptimization of supply chain created a lot of opportunities in other countries. There's also an energy transition theme, AI. All the structural changes are global, and EM will play a part in that, either as the demand side, where the consumers will continue to have with the middle income group is going continue to grow and population, but also on the supply side, we are seeing a lot of direct investment in countries. I would say it's been a little bit more exaggerated, maybe you can argue really expensive now in India because there were a lot of attentions there, so we might expect a little bit more volatility at the country level. But overall, EM has a lot of, in my opinion, potential for the next 10, 15 years for secular trends. And ex-US developed markets, I think, is always an important place to look at. Their valuations are stretched, again, to a point where it's becoming really, really cheap, unreasonably cheap, which means something is bigly disrupted. Like UK is an example where we find that that is a big discount to the reality of the earnings opportunities. And most of the UK companies are actually multinational companies, so you're getting some global exposure. But the valuation is something that makes us to look at it. So generally, I would say ex-US developed and EM still have some opportunities. But I would stay very active and very stock-specific in those areas because that's where the opportunity lies.
David, from hearing Melda's thoughts from CIO's vantage point, how should equity investors think about positioning, whether it's across the emerging markets or within other developed economies outside of the U.S.?
Yeah, so the one area outside the U.S. that we do have a preference for is emerging markets. And I think Melda touched on a lot of the rationale here. I mean, you know, we should see a rebound in global manufacturing. That should drive pretty nice rebound in earnings growth for emerging markets. I think we'll probably be in a situation where emerging markets collectively will probably outgrow the U.S. from an earnings perspective. We're looking for mid-teens earnings growth in emerging markets. That's a bit higher than what we think we'll see in the U.S., which is around 9%. You know, if the Fed starts cutting, that's usually also pretty supportive for emerging markets, tends to lead to a weaker dollar and maybe lower rates in general across the curve. That also tends to be, you know, just a good environment for emerging markets. And then as Melda touched on, just, you know, you've got valuations in your favor here. And these markets do look, you know, pretty cheap especially relative to, you know, some of the broader indices and the U.S. So, you know, similar to my comments on small caps, I mean, I think the key as almost always it is the case, you know, the catalyst here is to really see those better earnings coming through. We think they will, and that's what drives our preference for emerging markets.
So as we begin to wrap up, I do want to hear your final thoughts, takeaways, and we have indeed covered a lot of ground for our listeners, our clients today. So Melda, David, thank you both for your time and for sharing your insights. What we'll do, David will allow Melda the final word. So I'll go to you first if there's anything in the way of final thoughts or anything you would like to reinforce today for our listeners.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I mean, you know, obviously we spend a lot of time, you know, focusing on the short-term views and the nearer-term views as we just, you know, just had a whole half hour discussing. But I think it's important not to lose sight of the bigger picture here, which is that, you know, the real benefits of being invested in equities come from the compounding effect that happens over the course of a long period of time. And that's why we always try to emphasize that it's not about, it's more about time in the market, not timing the market. So there's always something to worry about. There's always questions and concerns. But, you know, try to keep an eye on the big picture here and to stay invested, in line with your financial plan and your long-term, asset allocation targets.
I couldn't agree more with David that it is not about the timing, but time in equities. I totally agree with that. I think our commitment as our clients trust their wealth with us, investing in equities, that our focus is that longer term prospect of the equities. And we really take advantage of these shorter term volatility or dislocations to set up the portfolios for the next 3, 5, 10 years. And I would say, as we discussed, there are a lot of secular trends, really exciting, really, really innovation in place, tech intensity that we are investing in, and we are really focusing on their long-term premises. And I would say, again, at the stock level, there are so many opportunities around the globe that we can really work into the portfolios, and also access to the management teams of these companies give us that opportunity to engage and confirm our investment thesis, and that confidence goes back to the portfolios for longer term holdings. But it is so important to stay in the game during these volatile and uncertain times.
Well, Melda, David, very productive, insightful discussion today. Thank you both again for your time and for joining us here on the Talking Markets podcast series, for the guidance and insight you've shared with us today when it comes to equity positioning and a performance outlook for equities as we look out further through 2024 and beyond. So thank you both again for spending some time with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliates. The views and opinions expressed in this material by external guest speakers are those of the author, speaker, and are not those of UBS, its subsidiaries, or affiliates. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over the content of this material or any claims, losses, or damages arising from the use or reliance of all or any part thereof. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient, and is published for informational purposes only. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.